The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Southland Community Law Centre's information sessions. And once again, we have Shane Robertson here from Hewitt Galt Lawyers. Welcome, Shane.
Cheers, Mike.
Thanks for coming on in again.
You're welcome.
For those who may not have caught up with us in the previous few months, Shane is the immigration principal immigration advocate for the Hewitt Galt Lawyers, and is in today to continue on from previous months' sessions. And yeah, I think if we can just remind the public, our listeners, that the information they hear today is just that, information, and not to be considered as legal advice. If you want legal advice on your matter, on this or any other, please contact us on 0800 55 0800. All right, Shane. Thank you again, mate. And we're starting part four of our sessions.
So just so that your listeners know, these sessions are recorded in advance, and Immigration New Zealand frequently updates its operational manual. So some of the things that I'm saying may no longer be true by the time you hear this, and you really should seek updated information if you're at all unsure about the processing of your visa or the way to go about applying for your visa. So a couple of things that may have changed in the time since this is recorded are, first of all, the median wage. That is the amount that you need to be paid in order to qualify for a skilled work visa. So at the time that we're recording this, that's $27.66 an hour. It's going up to $29. But you need to make sure that your wage is at the level that Immigration New Zealand requires. And if it's not, you need to be talking to your employer. Obviously, your employer may not be happy about this, but the bottom line is that if your employer wants to keep employing you in that role, then I'm sorry, but they're going to have to pay what Immigration New Zealand expects. At the time of recording this, in February 2023, Immigration New Zealand and the government were signalling that in April 2023, they were looking at whether or not they would continue with the partnership work visa scheme, or whether they would make partners apply for an accredited employer work visa of their own. So we have no way of knowing whether that's going to go ahead or not. It's been put off at least once already. So again, you need to seek advice on what the situation is there, whether you can apply for a partnership visa or whether you will need to apply for an accredited employer work visa on your own.
Right, which, yeah, it could be a minefield either way.
Yeah,
really,
it is. Immigration is a bit of a minefield. When I was starting out, a lawyer that I spoke to said, look, the immigration system is like a maze. And the maze is full of traps, and all the traps cost you money. And the worst thing is that all the traps move around. They're not in the same place as you thought they were. So, have a look at processing times too for the visa application that you are making, because whether you are onshore or offshore can make a big difference. So, for example, at the time that we're recording this, processing time for a visitor visa application is 20 weekdays, that is 20 working days excluding public holidays, and they get 90% of applications processed within 54 weekdays. Now that can change depending on the processing load on Immigration New Zealand, that is the kinds of visas that they're processing, the number of immigration officers that they've got allocated to a particular visa type. So you really need to check the Immigration New Zealand website for the processing times for the kind of visa that you're applying for, and to apply well in advance of your current visa expiring, or say the start date of your course or employment, okay? Because you may need to do some negotiating around that with your employer, or find out from your educational institution whether you need to defer your enrolment to the next semester, for example.
Yeah, you mentioned whether they're in New Zealand or offshore at the moment.
Yep.
Not being fully aware how far outreaching this session's going to go.
Yep.
Are we relying on the families here in New Zealand to extend this information out there, or you mentioned the immigration's website, which is obviously the first place to go to.
Yep.
Has that got any better to navigate?
A little bit. Use the search function first. Search function I've found is of limited value. It is getting better. It's better than it was. Sometimes it's the terms that you use that will find you what you need. But if you are in doubt or you're confused, speak to a lawyer, a New Zealand lawyer, that is, or a New Zealand licensed immigration advisor. It's important to realise that every government guards its immigration system fairly jealously. So, for example, I can't give advice on UK visas or US visas. Those are limited to people in the UK and US who have those, who have the authority to do that. I can only advise on New Zealand visas. So sometimes I do have people coming to me asking about foreign visas. I can't help you, I'm afraid. But certainly I'm more than happy to help people navigate the Immigration New Zealand website.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking like probably the one thing that you're not looking forward to seeing or having is a heap of phone calls going, how do I find out about this? For obvious reasons. So you'd recommend first port of call, the website.
Yep.
Struggling with that, then contact someone for clarity.
Yeah, if you want to, you could contact the Community Law Centre and they could give you my email address and you could flick me an email. I prefer getting emails to phone calls, frankly, because that way I can sometimes just give people links to what they need.
Right, and enables you to keep track and follow up if necessary.
And it helps with language barriers as well. Sometimes if people have different accents, they might have trouble understanding me, I might have trouble understanding them. But if we've got something down on the screen or a link that you can look at, it makes it easier for you to find the information that you want.
Awesome.
And so, for things like student visas, where you need to know stuff in advance, like I said, I think in our first session, apply 8 weeks in advance, at least, for your student visa.
Good thinking. All right, we did sort of get into residency in our last session.
Yeah, we tried to, but we didn't quite get there. So you want me to talk about residence generally or the different categories?
Yeah, I'll let you sort of kind of go into where you think it's more relevant at this stage, because we will get cut short again, I'm sure.
So I'll try and quickly go through this. There's a number of different residence categories. So there's the business category for a start, and investor categories. To be blunt, if you are going to use an investor category or a business category like the entrepreneur visa, don't try and do it yourself.
Okay.
Absolutely do not try and do it yourself. Get professional advice. It was getting so bad at one stage that 90% of applications were being declined. In fact, over 90%, because they couldn't meet immigration requirements. Okay, in a time of economic difficulty as well, you may find that the economic forecasts you have to give with a business visa will be out of date pretty quickly. You need to get professional advice on this. If you don't, you can look at a fairly significant loss of time and money. And that's pretty much all I want to say about that.
Yeah, probably all you need to say, to be fair.
Okay, so the next one, the 2021 resident visa is probably still being processed at this stage. If you are lucky enough to be in this scheme, good on you. Please be patient. Immigration reckons that they were going to get all of these processed in 18 months. Who knows where that's at now? I still have people who are waiting to have theirs processed, and there is nothing that I can do about that. The other skilled migrant processing visas, resident visas to process. There's the green list that I talked about last time, where people can go straight to residence, or in September this year, if they've accrued 2 years' worth of work in their role since September 2021, they can potentially apply for a work to residence visa. Now, there's also the skilled migrant category, which has reopened. It's much more expensive now than it used to be, about twice as expensive to apply for that. And if you're going to apply for that, make sure you've got all your documentation in order, because the last time I looked at the immigration website, the processing time was up to 4 years. Okay. It's probably not going to be 4 years, but this is immigration's projection, okay, from their website. Make sure you get advice on this so that you don't find that your application is delayed. Next category, family. Okay, so this is partnerships and dependent children. I do get a fair number of inquiries about these from people who are already living in New Zealand, or who might have a person living offshore that they want to get residence for. As I said previously about partnerships, the onus is on you. That is, it's your responsibility to come up with the evidence that immigration needs to have that visa approved. Dependent child, sometimes I see people who have adopted a child and they want to get residence. This often happens for Pacific Island countries, where a family might adopt in a child from a brother or sister, something like that. You know, that's reasonably common.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are other special residence categories, such as refugee and domestic violence, humanitarian categories like that. They have specific requirements that you will need to get advice on, because, again, it's all about the evidence that you can put in front of Immigration New Zealand. And I think that pretty much sums up every application, but it is particularly true with residence applications. While immigration has some degree of leeway with temporary visa applications, they don't have any with residence applications. So if you can't meet their requirements, it's you that's out of luck.
Right, cool. And I think we're just about going to have to wrap it up again, my friend. Sorry. So thank you again, Shane.
Yep.
For coming in. We might have to get you back for another session. I hope your schedule's allowing for all this time. But, again, I do appreciate it, and I'm pretty sure our listeners are too. It's valuable information, to be fair. And as always, people, the information that you have heard today is just that, information, and should not be considered as legal advice. For advice on your matter, whether it's immigration or anything else, please contact our offices on 0800 55 0800 or 0321 43 180. We are located at 33 Don Street, Level 2, just about forgot. And our office hours are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through to Thursday, Fridays until 12:30 p.m. We are open to walk-in clients Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays. So just before I do sign off completely, just to remind people that it is important that you keep yourself up to date with the information as far as immigration goes, and that the easiest way in its initial stage would be just to visit their website and just see what changes have come about since we started recording these sessions, because they are ever-changing. And again, Shane, thank you for your time today, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next month. Hey! And just to remind everybody again, sorry, that we are still visiting your outreach clinics throughout Southland. And if you wish to make an appointment, give us a call on 0800 55 0800. Thank you.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.